Hi, and welcome to episode 114 of Fully Boosted, War Machine Hordes Podcast. I'm Grant.
I'm Brad.
I'm Matt. And with us today, we are joined by the ever-so-sexy Jake Wilstrom.
Hey, guys. Too kind, Matt. You're far too kind to me.
I'm just mad you turned your camera off, because I was digging the view.
Oh, there was going to be some nudity, don't worry.
Fuck.
Later, yeah.
God damn it. All right.
Go ahead. I still get sent pictures from that Sioux Finals, Jake.
Oh, that was so cool, yeah. We really should have done that naked. That'd have been pretty good.
I mean, it was two pale dudes playing around a table with a bunch of lights on them. I don't think anyone wanted that view besides us.
Pale, sweaty, stressed, kind of hairy. Yeah, it's going to be good.
Don't threaten me with a good time. All right, Jake, thanks for jumping in with us. So we're, what, 1 week? Is it 1 week out from WTC? 2 weeks?
I believe it's two.
2 weeks. And lists dropped yesterday or the day before, so everyone's been analyzing them, and we, as is tradition, wanted to come in and do an overview of what we saw, what we're going to see meta-wise. Not we, but you, what everyone's seeing meta-wise as far as what lists have been brought, and then go through and pick out some lists that we like and that we think are interesting and talk about them. I guess the first of all, as I'm sure everybody knows, but if they don't, Matt will be representing Canada on Team Polar Bear, playing Infernals, and Jake will be representing England Knights playing Scorn.
Correct, yes.
Yes.
So which of the two of you has the better team?
Me.
Okay, coming in hot, I love it.
I like my team a lot. They're very committed this year, put in a lot of effort, and I think that I wouldn't rather be at WTC with anyone else.
I like Jake's confidence better here.
Well, my team are a bunch of dickheads, but they're my dickheads, so mm-hmm. It wouldn't be the same experience without my team like behind me doing all the hard work. The guys that I've got really do put in a shift. They do think about the game way too much, and it's what keeps me motivated and what keeps the WTC epic and special to me.
Yeah,
that's a bit soppy, but it is true, and Matt knows exactly what I'm saying about this as well.
Yeah, I mean, like, the whole thing about being like a North American team in WTC is that generally players who make the journey over there are super committed because it's an expensive trip, right? Like, we're talking $2,500, $3,000 to get this trip underway for a player. So when you get committed early in the year and like people are grinding games and you have that camaraderie that you build up through cons and travel and practice games and like, you know, talking every day about matchups and figuring things out, like, it's just such a good experience.
Yeah, when you spend that much time interacting with the people, you've got to get on, and like by the end of it you do become super close. It's like the Ben Hampshire, I've got on my team this year. 2 years ago, I didn't really even know the guy, and now we chat every day. It's you do build a bond with like the guys on your team and that you talk to, interact with, like pretty much every single day.
Yeah, I was gonna say you guys must just. I mean, we have a chat together, but like you guys talk just with your games with each other and the travel to the cons. And the tournaments and all the stuff. I imagine that bond grows super strong over a year or 2 year period, whatever the case may be.
Oh yeah, it does. I mean, two of my teammates are really local, Mark and James. They both live like 30 miles away from me, so I see them on a weekly basis, and then every time I travel to an event, it's always me, Mark, and Ben. So we spend 4 days with each other every 6 weeks, pretty much. Whether it's traveling to, say, Canada, America, Sweden, Poland, wherever, it's always us guys. So we do end up spending a lot of hours with each other. But I wouldn't trade it for the world, though. It's what's kept me interested and investing in the game so much is the people.
Yeah, 100%. I can't echo that enough. It's yeah. It's what makes the game worth playing at a competitive level. Like, I know I talk about this a lot, like, especially on this podcast, but, like, winning things doesn't do anything for you in terms of, like, financial or, it doesn't make your dick larger. Like, it just, no matter what happens, like, winning something only matters to you because you get to say you won something. And, like, eventually that, like, winning something stops to matter as much. What matters more is the, like, interactions you have with the people in the community. And being able to be like, oh, I have this guy Jake that I know in fucking England that we talk to every day. Mm-hmm. And, like, I'm super excited to see this dude. Like, that's something that never happens unless you're part of that community, right?
Do you know why I'm super excited I get to talk to Jake? Because I can message him at 2 in the morning and ask him for advice on how to make shepherd's pie.
I told my wife, I was like, in a year or two, we're all going to know Celsius, what time it is over there, and how many pounds, what that translates to dollars without having to Google it.
It's like, you should know Celsius from me anyways, you fuck.
We make you tell us how many freedom units it is. We're like, I don't know. Zero is cold. I know that.
Zero is 32.
Yeah, and it's cold, and that's it. Then I'm out.
Yeah. The other thing I know is negative 40 in Fahrenheit is also negative 40 in Celsius.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dude, I could see that American education system at work.
I don't know anything else, bud. It didn't fail us, for sure.
So, to segue this a little bit here.
Yeah.
It says there's 3 Infernal players at WTC. Are the other 2 Infernals players alternates?
I did not look through it enough to know that. Yeah, I don't know the answer to that, Matt. I'm sorry. I was not prepared.
I'm flipping through it right now, and I'm trying to find some...
All right, hold on. I'll start at the bottom. I'll meet you halfway up. Let's see. All right. We'll fill this. Go ahead.
So there's an alternate on Germany that's playing Infernals.
All right.
I was about to say I almost found one, Matt, and then I found
it was Matt. That's fantastic.
So while we're sorting, oh, there you go. Yeah, they're both alternates.
So you're the only Infernals player currently at WTC because you have the biggest balls of anybody there.
Don't fuck up.
Yeah,
you can see them from space. They are that big.
Yeah, I'm actually impressed that no one else went for it. So just like, I guess this is the segue, I'm being Grant for this moment. This segue into event statistics, there's only 3 Infernals players, 2 of them are alternates, and one of the other one is me.
Oh, is that where you were going? I thought you just wanted to, like, throw your big dick on the table. I didn't know that was, we were segueing.
It was very clean, very clean and pristine segue that only grew better when you drew attention to
it. Yeah. No. Yes. I do want to talk about that, Matt. I mean, Infernals did just come out. I mean, a lot of that's got to be the model selection available to purchase, especially, I know, Jake, you talk about some of the things that are really difficult, to get over in Europe and the UK. So Matt, I mean, you're the one playing Infernals. What do you think? Is that what's keeping everybody off them?
I think there's probably 2 factors. So, like, I think Europe just won't have the models in time.
Right.
We don't.
Yeah. I think that Jake sent me a picture of his team playing. I think it was Mark playing Infernals. And there was just, like, a sea of proxied heavies and, like, solos and stuff. And I was like, I currently have all of those in my possession. And I think that's a pretty big indicator. I think the other big indicator is, like, actual numbers of games people can get in meaningful practice with it.
Agreed. So, like, with the Infernals over here, the army box only landed 3 weeks ago. Like, at the I was at a convention in Sweden, I think, 3 weeks ago. And, like, them having the army box was quite a big deal. Because no, like, it only just hit the UK. Like, some of the, like, the Umbral Guardians have only just come in. The Horseman. Like, we've not even got any Archons yet. They're not out yet anywhere. But, like, most of the Infernal stuff just isn't in the stores. Like, you can't buy the heavies. You can only literally just buy the army box. So, that is a big factor. And as Matt said, the amount of games people can play. I mean, Matt's a machine, so he can play a million and one games. Some of the people who were thinking about switching maybe can't make the commitment. Model availability and price, it's quite a big chunk to drop on a risk if you're going to physically get the models before list submission.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. I think the biggest thing is with anything that's new, there's that risk of innovation, right? This is the post Oblivion landscape, but like all of the list choices are safe, right? Like they're all, every list played at WTC this year is things people have been looking at and prepping and spending time on pretty much the entire year. Sure, there's some variations and there's a little bit of changes, but overall, people are making the safe choices because you don't want to take a gamble and fuck your team.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, do either of you guys see, I know you've both looked through the list, you may not have an answer to this, do either of you see something that you look at now that you're like, holy shit, that would not have existed, you know, a month and a half ago? Or is it really across the board pretty safe things that people have been practicing for months?
Infernals. I'll say that one. I wouldn't be there.
I mean, other than Infernals,
so,
which we already talked about.
The big thing that leaps out to me as things that, like, the people who have been kind of waiting in the wings, you know, for this change, like, let's just talk about, you know, mercenaries,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, 12 Fiona 1s, mm-hmm. 9 Osrams. Like, if you had said last year that Osram and Magnus 2 wouldn't be the most popular caster, and, like, either of...
And Bart would be the third most popular caster?
He's tied for third, yes.
Sure, but I'm just saying last year, like, I don't think he would...
Yeah,
you know.
Like, we're seeing more variability in, like, things like Fiona with 12 casters. Like, Fiona's obviously incredible. Mm-hmm. But, like, we're seeing that, like, that change in the meta already there. Like, that's an Oblivion update. Well, Fiona's the Mercs Talion update, but, like, Bart being there, like, Magnus not being the most popular. Like, that... go ahead.
Yeah, I was just saying, to add to your point, Matt, if you look at Menoth, while Harbinger is far and away the most popular, most taken caster out of Menoth, all but three of their warcasters are being taken at WTC.
Yeah, and I think that, like, the when we talk about, like, changes in Oblivion and, like, safety, Infernals is a really good point on this, is that when my team, like, throughout the year, we had some changes in roster and, like, some changes in perspective. And throughout the year, we kind of, like, we're like, no, Infernals is not going to be a real thing. Like, it's not real. You're going to be missing too many models. And, like, as the things released, it only confirmed it more and more and more, right? Like, up until the gate announcement, we were like, Infernals won't be a real thing for WTC. Then they announced the gate, and they're like, it's a Bahi model. It'll be out in your hands by WTC. And we were like, okay, this makes the faction, like, competitively viable now. Who can get 100 games in with Infernals before WTC?
Matt can.
And yeah, if there's anyone that can, it's me. So we did it. Like, we got the games in, and, like, we did the initial testing, and everyone was super skeptical and, like, pushing me to not, like, do 10 test games, and then, like, if it doesn't feel good, go back to practicing, like, your real lists. And that's the mentality most people approach WTC with, right?
Agreed, yeah. I think as well. I think so. I definitely made the choice with one of my lists. Is right. I was umming and ahhing about what my second list should be, and say I went with Makeda 3. But there was a part of me that wanted just to throw, like, I don't know, something a bit maybe not wacky, but like something that I've thought about but not tested enough, and just like, screw it. Let's see what happens if I throw this in. But because it's the team format on, like, the biggest stage for War Machine, you don't want to make that risk. Because if you make that list, if you play that list and you lose your team, like, the finals, because you made that choice, like, you'll feel horrific. So I think people have been a lot safer with their choices. And I think that's why we've seen a lot more Circle than I would have anticipated. I didn't expect Circle. I thought they'd be high. I didn't expect 60 of them. I think that's because people have been playing them since their CID and just been like, they're just good, and just kept playing them.
I agree with you 100% here, Jake. I think, hell, I could go back months in my team log where we identified, and like in our chats together too, we identified the top five factions. And I think we said Circle, Grimkin, Scorn, Menoth, and Rhett were our top five, right?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And we've been saying that pretty much all year. And that is what the top five are. But after the Iona and Lord of the Feast changes, I did not expect Circle to be 20 more players than Grimkin. I expected Grimkin to be like 50 players, Circle to be like 45, and everything else to be close.
I thought Grimkin and Circle would be like, everything I saw on the breakdown for it was correct. Grimkin and Circle should have been swapped, and that would be 100% what I would have guessed.
Yeah. I mean, and it's not even like crazy. It's Kruger 2, Balder 1, Wyrmwood, Iona.
Sure, it's Kruger 2 and Balder 1, realistically.
Sure, but I'm just, I guess the point, it's not like it was, I don't know, Morvana 1 or Morvana 2, some stuff that we really didn't see, like, much of at all. Like, it's kind of the same.
Weird stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think Jake made a really good point about people feeling safe on Circle. Mm-hmm. Like, if you look at event statistics for the year, like, almost every, like, good player that played Circle for the year had some of the best years they've ever had. I played Iona in exactly one event and took home champions in that event, and like just with no practice games before the event.
And no off list, right?
Yeah, I literally didn't have a second list on my sheet. I had Iona, Devourer's Host, and my other side of my sheet was blank.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, I'd put my list on the table and they'd be like, what's your second list? And I'd be like, no, I don't have a second list. So I think that a lot of Circle players did feel very comfortable, and I think the change from Iona to Balder is another one of those like comfort picks. A lot of players in Europe have been on the Balder train for a long time, right?
Balder has been as big as Iona has been over here. Some of the top players were playing Balder before Iona, and some have swapped. So like, if you're not wanting to look at like not the best pair, but like if you want to like, say play a Circle, just look at Tomasz Mukas' list from Poland South, I think it is.
Yes.
Like, that pair is pretty much Circle summed up to play everything. And you could play that, and that's just how strong those two lists are. Like, it's not Iona, even though he's played Iona nearly all year. It's similar fundamentals, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so, again, Balder 1 list that Tomasz is playing, this is actually a really good point. Well done. Balder 1's list wouldn't exist pre-Oblivion. Mm-hmm. So, this is Tomasz's Balder 1 list. It has Getarix, Storm Raptor, Blood Shaman, 3 Gallows Groves, Lord of the Feast, Boilmaster and Spirit Cauldron, Bridget and Call, Death Wolves, Shifting Stone, 1 unit of Ravagers, Max with UA, and a Well of Orboros. This list could not exist before Oblivion. So this is a list that was tested, or was built, tested, iterated upon, and then is now being played at WTC by one of the best players in the world.
So I know this is a slight side note. I will slightly butt in there. So in the UK, especially in my area, that list has been going since the Circle update. Because Brett Wilkie off England Lions, he was playing 2 free cards before Oblivion with Raptor Getarix and literally smashing the shit out of people.
Yeah.
That list has been a plague in the UK for so long. And then Oblivion came out and he's like, I just get an extra 10 points. This is brilliant. And everyone else is looking at going, oh my God, this is crazy.
Like, well,
people have looked at Balder before and be like, well, why would you take Balder in that list when you don't get enough free stuff? And then now the free stuff doesn't matter. They're like, holy shit, this is crazy.
I agree with you. The changes I wanted to get in there were the changes from pre-Oblivion to Oblivion are 3 Gallows Groves.
That's a big one, yeah.
The 3 Gallows Groves and the way you split the points is that you also get the Death Wolves.
I mean, between the battle group points, the Death Wolves, the Cauldron, the Well, I mean, there's a pile of models there's a pile of models that all wouldn't count towards the 60-point requirement you had before for Devourer's Host.
Correct.
Yeah, sorry to try to talk over you there, Jerry. I just wanted to highlight the changes.
No, it's no problem at all. I completely understand that. I've got for later. I've got another list I want to interject about with Boulder that I think you quite like. But sorry, carry on. I'm rambling.
You know, that's just my bad. I just wanted to like highlight. So the highlighted points here, the changes that you get, like the Groves and the Death Wolves and like the Stones and all these extra additions to that list are a result of Oblivion.
Correct.
And this list is crazy. One of my locals, Nicholas Rattel, has been playing this list for 2 months now, I want to say. And it's been savage. Just watching him just like destroy people's souls. And again, this is a list that is similar to what people were playing before Oblivion, and they made some changes to it, so it is still relatively low risk, but it does have those changes that let it play completely differently than it did before.
So I just did the math real quick. If this was pre-Oblivion, that current Baldur 1 list has a total of 31 qualifying points, so it would go down from 3 free options to 1. Right? Like, tremendous difference in how that list would actually exist on the table.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, I think the list as a whole, it looks fantastic and plays brilliantly. For me, what the big part of that list is the triple Groves. Because Baldur actually, before Oblivion, did struggle a little bit for solos. He only had about three, top of my head, about three in the old list. Suddenly, they've got double the amount of solos they had before. And obviously, Arknode and all the other things. But even just as like boot from the ground, models on the board, you've doubled your amount of solos. And that's just a huge, that's quite a huge impact for our current scenario packet, I feel.
Yeah, I agree completely.
So we've kind of segued into the lists, so we can run with that. Did anyone have anything else on the compositions for the event that they were surprised, not surprised, whatever? And if not, we'll just move on and get right into some sweet-ass lists.
I'm ready for sweet-ass lists.
I mean, I just wanted to highlight that Crucible Guard has 21 players.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you were to look at U.S. events statistics, there'd be like 3 Crucible Guard players. If you look at European event statistics, it's a sea of Crucible Guard.
There is quite a lot over. So what I think over here is we have more Crucible Guard, less Mercs. You have more Mercs and you have less Crucible Guard.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, mercenaries over here, it's like there's one decent, good to decent player in the UK playing Mercs, maybe 2. And then that there's a few scattered around that I know of. Obviously, I don't know everyone. But the ones I know of, there's a really Hugo Norland from Sweden 2. He's got a fantastic Fiona Ostrom pair. It's like, there's not a lot of Mercs about, really, over here.
Whereas yeah.
You go to North America, and they're fucking everywhere.
Yeah.
Yes. So we actually had this conversation, I think it was at Lock and Load. We had a bunch of like US and Canadian players sitting around. We were talking about how like Europeans just don't have mercenary players, and how playing a faction like mercenaries at WTC is like playing 5 games against people who have never played against Ostrom.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really weird like that knowledge differential that exists between Europe and North America is so weird.
For the last two, so not this current one, but the last two WTCs I've been to, one of my big dodges has been Mercs, because I had no idea what the fuck they did. The first time I've ever played against mercenaries was this year at SmogCon at BonesCon in February. That was the first time I've ever played against Mercs. The second time was you in the finals of the Sioux, and then the third time was just now in Battle at Lund. I don't play against Mercs. We don't have them over here.
That's wild.
Yeah, we just do not see them. People own them, but they're normally like a second faction or like a not a complete faction. But now they're so strong that you'll see a few more Merc players come out the woodwork.
All right, so let's jump into some lists. Brad, I know you're super excited, so I'm going to go ahead and let you go first. Tell us where we're going.
Yeah, yeah, we're going to go to the nation of Ireland, Jake's nearby neighbors, specifically Ireland Wild, Mr. Jerry Nolan. Jake, do you know Jerry?
I do know Jerry. Jerry runs the Irish Gauntlet. It's the first qualifier for the next year's Lock and Load. It's the first Iron Gauntlet qualifier for the next year's Lock and Load. Hmm. It's run like 3 weeks after the normal Lock and Load is. So it's quite a big event, and he runs it in Dublin. Super sweet guy.
Well, that Zarkova 1 list also, to me, looks super sweet.
Oh, fucking sweet as fuck. There's so much spice in this list.
Yeah, so it's Zarkova 1 in Flames. It's out of Kador, so it's paired with a Vlad 1 in Wintergard Command. But the Zarkova 1 in Flames has a Hurricane, so bringing over the Signar Jack. And then it's running Hermit. Allison Jake's running Gallant, Ragman, Acosta, a unit of Alexei and the Risen, and then double Max Precursor Knights with UAs. This is a list that Matt and I think we might have talked about on this podcast, right? Like, all of the things this list lets you do. Zarkova gets an Arc Node, which is astounding. You get a range platform, and now you're dealing with, like, a whole army that's immune to spells, that has a Cloud Wall, that shield walls, and has Vengeance. With one of the most backbreaking control feats in the game, if you can get her up the table, which Colossal and shield-guarding units allow you to do, not to mention the Hermit, right? Like, this list just has everything I think Zarkova 1 wants.
So Gallant in this... Sorry to talk over.
No, go ahead.
So Gallant in this list, I don't know if you know the stats, but Gallant in this list goes to a 19-19
yeah.
with Vision.
He doesn't, though, because he doesn't have any Archons, right? So he only goes to a 17-19.
Only 17-19.
Oh, yeah, I can't do maths. 13 plus 2. Yeah, sorry, I can't do maths. Ignore me.
Yeah, I mean, 17, like, you were close. 19. If he had an Archon, then he'd be 19-19.
Absolutely,
which is,
have an Archon.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, so the list that we talked about on this podcast, maybe in our last episode, whenever that was, had double Archon in it for Zarkova 1, and that is the moneymaker. When yep. Gallant walks up with Sidekick and two Archons, and can't be targeted by spells, can't be knocked down, can't be pushed, can't be slammed, like, he just says fuck off. Like, you just flail helplessly against him, and it's sexual. It's great.
Yeah, bonus points if he's behind Zarkova 1 clouds with Zarkova 1 feet. He's just literally immune to everything that exists ever.
I think if WTC was 2 months later, the number of Archons, it would be like Hermits and Clocks all over again.
Well, there was an STL file that went around that got approved for WTC for Menoth Archons. Yeah. Or not Menoth, for Marwyn Archons. I'm pretty sure. And you could have 3D printed them from any online print store.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and that was, so like this my Menoth player has got his Menoth Archons, and he's painting them at the moment. Well, obviously they are printed ones, because they're like, if you were to buy the proper ones, you would not get them for WTC in Europe.
Right, yeah, you wouldn't get that.
Right,
yeah.
Flat no. So you have to proxy them.
Yeah, luckily, like, as a North American boy, I have my set of Archons, but yeah, so this Zarkova 1 list is sweet. It's concise. It has no like fancy pieces in it. It's like all work, no play.
Mm-hmm.
It's lovely. I love this list. I think it's fantastic.
One cute thing the list does have is in the Grimkin matchup, the Hurricane can remove flight
yeah.
on the Clockatrices, and then you feat with Zarkova, so they can't charge, lose Eyeless Sight, can't fly.
Oh, and they don't have Pathfinder, right? Because they have flight.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Get fucked.
Yeah, and then you just cram that Hurricane up there, gets them all in the aura, and they can't really get away from it, so they just lose flight for, like, the rest of the fucking game. It's so good.
That's really dirty. And he's paired that with Vlad 1 Winter Guard, for anyone not following along. Which, if you want to, the Conflict Chamber event ID is 982.
Yeah, I mean, Vlad 1 Winter Guard Command, you know, guns are still good. It's just in.
Guns with signs of importance. Can't say fairer than that.
Yep, that seems fine.
Especially, years later.
Especially with the Victor and now the Grey Lord adjuncts. Now it's like shooting through cloud walls still, like has magic weapons when you need them.
Victor is so good. I've only played against it recently, and bloody hell, that thing's good. Like, It's got a 20-inch range gun. Who the fuck printed that? 20-inch range.
It's a 40K gun brought over to War Machine.
On a round when you need it, the Victor also threatens 15 inches in melee.
Yep.
Just whoops, here it is.
It's fine, Jake. You can play him with Striker 1 and Flames and make it 24. It's fine.
You play him with Striker 3 so he has Escort and auto-hitting charge attack.
I know that that's the I know that that's the right answer, but...
Or you feet make him armor 25 with Striker 1.
I'm a 28.
Yeah, it'd be 28 because you'd Arcane Shield him.
Fine, if you want to really live the dream.
Come on, Brad. Come on. What are you doing? All right, I'm going to go ahead and go, and I'm going to talk about a list that I don't... I'm prefacing this with saying I'm not saying it's bad. I think it's a super interesting list. I'm just not entirely sure what they're looking to play it into, and so I'm going to kind of lean on Matt and Jake here to advise me. So we're going to go to the Czech Eagles to Olda Vondracek? I don't know. I'm sorry in advance for anybody.
Olda Vondracek.
Any non-American name I have to pronounce. So his first list, which is Morgul 1 in Disciple of Agony, and with that he's got an Agonizer, Akreya, two Desert Hydras, Marketh, Orin, double Taskmaster, double Chef, two Pharaoh Slaughterhouser units, and then a min unit of Beast Handlers. That's the list I want to talk about, but just for context, he has paired that with Xerxes 2 in Disciples, with Akreya Battle Boar, triple Swamp Horror, Mistspeaker, Orin, double Taskmaster, Zadesh running a Gladiator and an Aggo, double Slaughterhousers, and min Beast Handlers. So Matt, Jake, both of you have played Scorn. Talk to me about this Morgul 1 with tormenting fucking Desert Hydras.
So I can jump in on this one. I'm not entirely sure what it plays, but I sort of know what it does. So it's like, it's got a million sprays. It threats half decently because it's got... he's got abuse, hasn't he? Which
yeah, I meant abuse. I said torment, but I meant abuse.
Yeah. So has he got Marketh in that list?
He does.
Yeah.
He does.
So he can abuse both of them. So they go to speed 7. So speed 7, spray 8. So they already threat 15 before any charge targets. I think it's just going to blend people. That's if anything comes within 15 of them, it's just going to spray the shit out of them. Then it's going to charge you with 3 charges at power. Has he got a damage buff?
He has Beast Handlers.
He can enrage them, yeah.
So he can enrage.
Does abuse give you plus 2 strength, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah it's plus 4 strength swing.
So he's going to spray you from 15 away minimum. Then he's going to charge you from 12 away with a free charge and at power 22 with 5 initials and 4 buys. It's just, I don't know what it does. It's probably just good.
So we haven't talked about anything on Morgul's card other than abuse. Like, does
because that's it.
Does Morgul have a feat? I don't know what Morgul has. Yeah.
Go ahead, Matt.
So his feat has a really cool thing, where it says models in his control cannot be forced, and I believe it says Warjacks can't spend focus.
Yeah, it's while in his control range, enemy non-warcaster, non-warlock models cannot spend focus or fury, be forced, or have damage transferred to them. For one round.
So, one of the big things that we're not talking about here is the assassination. If you missed the very important sentence there, it's have damage transferred to them.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that Morgul can walk up, feet, catch all of your transfer targets in his feet, and then a couple Hydras walk over to you and spray you to three.
Yeah.
The other big thing here is 2 units of Slaughterhousers. So these are the dudes with 2-inch reach, finisher, and now have relentless charge. And he has 2 Paingiver Taskmasters. So they start off at power 11. They go up to power 13. They're tough, no knockdown.
They're power 12 base.
Oh, sorry, power 14. Then
yeah.
My bad.
Yeah, yeah.
And with finisher, the Hydra comes out, puts some damage on heavy, and then you're getting charged by power 14 Sentinels.
Don't, correct me if I'm wrong here, do they also benefit from Windstorm? So they have, like, are tougher to shoot as well?
Sandstorm, yes.
Sandstorm, sorry.
Yeah. Is Sandstorm friendly faction or just friendly?
Well, they are friendly factions because it's DOA.
Yeah, it's no, that's only for War Beasts. But
I think it just models in.
It's just a model in the command range. It doesn't specify friendly or that it works for.
Oh, it's like Fog of War as well.
Yep.
Pretty much, yeah.
But it's when an enemy model targets a model, so it doesn't
okay.
it doesn't hurt you at all.
The other thing that's pretty clutch there is Orin, right? Just stands in the butt of two Hydras and says no to three spells.
Orin is basically a 11-point cheaper Supreme. If you want magic protection and you don't want a and you can't afford a Supreme, take Orin.
Well, he also does one big thing in this list, which this list doesn't have any of, is he has a magic attack.
Yes.
So this list has literally no magic attacks besides Morgul and Orin and Markath.
And Markath, yeah.
Right.
Yep.
So it's kind of relevant to have that. Then he's pairing this with a super sweet Xerxes 2 list with not one, not two, but three Swamp Horror Tentacle Boys. So I think the biggest hurdle of this list is getting the three Mini Crate Swamp Horrors because...
yeah, for sure.
You need them. Like, you're not playing the actual Octopus Boys. You need the female Swamp Horrors because they're beautiful models.
So anyone that doesn't know, the first one of the things that was talked about when that theme first got opened up to any caster was the Xerxes 2's Field Marshal is +2 speed. So you put these Swamp Horrors to speed 6, and then they have chain strike. So you've got your beak attack and then three tentacles at pal at range 4.
Don't forget Rush.
And Rush with a Gladiator, yeah.
And also double Slaughterhousers once again.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the double Slaughterhousers. I think that's cool.
So this list, I think when we started looking at this list, at least I did when I started looking at this list, I was like, what the hell does this thing do?
Yeah, it was the first thing. Yeah. That's why I brought it up to begin with.
But we're seeing like a lot of like carryover between the two lists. Like we see Orin, we see the Slaughterhousers, we see the Taskmasters. So this is obviously a module that the player is very familiar with and comfortable with. And all he's changing is the beasts that interact on the table.
Well, and it's giving him tools, right, that he doesn't already have with the Orin and the Slaughterhousers. Like it gives him some infantry in these traditional beast brick casters. That can go in and do some work.
Agreed.
Anyway, yeah, I think they're cool lists. I like them. I like that Morgul 1 list, you know, the more we talk about it. Again, I'm not sure what I would play it into, but I think it's sweet. I wouldn't like to see it across the table from me. All right, who's up? What do we got?
I think it's Jake's turn, unless I'm going again.
It's me. I don't have a... This list, at least, I don't have a lot to talk about it. I just really, really like it, and it's really ballsy. It's off. It's one of your guys.
USA.
It's Cole's list.
Mr. Westbrook, I love him.
Our boy
from Scotland, Lipora. I can't pronounce that. Apparently, it's a brand of whiskey.
How do you not? How can't you pronounce it? You're...
If anyone's gonna say it, it's got to be you, bud. How do we say that?
Yeah.
There's three vowels next to each other. I've got fucking no idea.
You don't know Scottish?
No, it's all iron brew and whiskey and heroin. I don't understand it.
All right, let's talk about Cole's.
So Cole's Border One list, I absolutely love. He has literally just pressed all. So on Conflict Chamber, he's gone, what's the shiny, and pressed the button until it says no. Literally, he has got. Like every model that does cool shit, and that's it. This Board One list, I think, has 15 models or 16 models.
Is it the same list that Tomas was playing, but you min the Ravagers to get the Hermit?
No, I think you get less stuff. There's actually less stuff, I think, in this one.
I think it's the same.
I think it's the same, but you min the Ravagers to get the Hermit.
Looks very, very similar.
I like it because. I really like it because there's no models in this list.
Yes, that
it's
is
great. I just.
That is the change. Men the Ravagers for the Hermit.
So, just to say this, how you pronounce the name is Lefroig.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't say that. So this list has 24 models.
Well, 25. The Well will make one.
25. I just really like it because literally he just pressed all the shiny buttons. Like, everything you could ever want in a list, he's going, yeah, let's have some of them. We don't need work models. We just need all the fun stuff. Put all the fun stuff in the list.
Paul does like fun stuff.
Yeah, it is just all the good stuff. And then you were like, oh, I better put some Ravagers in there just to be safe.
So, I have a fun story about Cole Westbrook.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
So, for those that don't know, Cole Westbrook used to spend a lot of time at Casa Cerati. Wow, that was a hard sentence. Too many C's. A
lot of vowels, too.
Yeah. And he came down for the Tech, which is a team tournament in my neck of the woods. And we're outside, and he's like, he wasn't going to WTC that year, and I was. And he's like, oh, next year when we go to WTC, you're going to have to give this thing back to me. And I was like, you got it, man. Not thinking about it. And then lists go up, and I see he's going to WTC for Scotland this year. And I'm like, ah, fuck yeah. I'm going to put this thing in my bag. So I'm like talking to Cole, and he messages me, and he's like, make sure you bring the thing. And I'm like, I got you, dog.
But what is it?
It's a lighter.
Oh. Oh, Cole.
Does his mom know he's smoking yet? And does she listen to our podcast?
Tell the dog walkers, Brad. Tell the dog walkers of England.
I was going to say that, too. All right. All right, Matt, what do you got, buddy?
Fuck me, mate. It's fine. We'll go to Matt next again.
Matt didn't have... He didn't get a list.
I didn't do one.
Yeah,
I don't like Matt, though. I don't want to have one.
I mean, that's fair, but...
I mean, that's kind of rude.
No, go ahead.
Sorry, I'm cutting. It's fine. I'm cutting a bunch of this, so it's good.
Oh, really? We don't get to keep me shit-talking Matt in the podcast?
That's no, that'll stay. That's fine.
Yes! So, I didn't have one ready.
Yeah, I mean, I know. How do you not have one ready now? That's why I let you go last.
I'll tell you a story, all right? I'm an idiot.
I thought that's what you were doing while you were telling the Cole story. I thought that's what that was.
Okay, so let's... I'm ready now.
All right, great.
I'm prepared.
Perfect.
Let's go to Japan Ronin Onigiri.
Perfect. Hold on, before you keep going, Matt, that's for you later, Grant.
Thanks, buddy.
Can we get another one of those?
Yeah, we got to find it again later.
Okay. All right, thanks. All right, so my choice for list goes to Team Japan Ronin Onigiri.
You know what's worse than two clap? One clap is fucking two claps.
Brad, get us a third.
Sorry.
All right, there we go.
God damn it.
So, Ronin Onigiri. I think this is the first time Japan is sending a team to WTC, so I really wanted to talk about it. Let's go to their convergence player, Takuya Kimura.
All right, let's do it.
So, we see... Convergence actually has a lot of players at WTC, which is wild. And by a lot, I mean 7, which is more than I expected, to be honest.
It's quite high, yeah.
I expected... Convergence is a super good faction, and like they have lots of really cool tools, but they've always been limited by the fact that they're a super limited faction that hasn't gotten a release in a while.
Are they not strong in a team format where you can keep them away from certain things?
They're strong in a convention format. Like, I was briefly... one of my most practiced factions is Convergence, because I play against it, like, once or twice every week. And I was briefly, considering them for the competitive scene this year, because, like, no one's prepared for them. Like, when's the last time you played against, like, a list with a bajillion dudes that had that much recursion? Like, now people are more ready because of dealing with things like Immortals and stuff, but like at the start of the year, they weren't.
We're also a bad example because one of our locals played Convergence for like the last 2 years. But
yeah, so let's look at this list here real quick. Sure. So we got this super sweet Orion Electro Gun You to Death list. I love this. So for those of you who are not aware, the Prime Conflux, summons a little iBot that gives +2 to electrical damage within 5 inches of it. It's like a Firefly, a little shitty Firefly that's free. And then all of the guns in this list are fucking are lightning guns. So, like, this gets to do, like, the poor man's fucking Nemo 3, where you just, like, feet with Orion and just, like, pull models off the table.
So, real quick, though, this is in Clockwork Legions.
Yeah, man. Isn't super secret tech.
Yeah, yeah. I want to understand that, because before that list was always played in DI, right?
Yeah, so the difference is, and this is a very critical difference, in Clockwork Allegiance, your free choices are now the light vectors, which is like the Warjacks.
Mm-hmm.
So like, he gets a Corollary for free, a Diffuser for free, and a Penis Locust for free.
Dick Spider,
yeah.
Yes.
So like, this is where most modern convergence lists are going to go. You're either going to be in Destruction Initiative to get the shield guards, because that's what you plan to play into guns, or you're going to be in Clockwork Legion to get like the 18 to 20 points of free valuable models.
So let me harp on this another second. I mean, Clockwork, though, if you were to go the route of like an Axis or a Lucant with all the dudes, that's still a super solid list, right? Or do you think you're going to see a lot of Clockwork lists still with the Jacks just to take the lights for free?
So my favorite Clockwork Legion list right now is Lucant with 30 Obstructors, 4 Enigma Foundries, and then like when the Void Archon comes out, you get a Void Archon, but you get all that, you get James. Or the Hermit, it's your choice. I like the Hermit a lot. And then you take like 5 heavies and like your free lights or 4 heavies, whatever the points work out to. So you just get this like really big, robust conservator, shield guardy, Hand of Vengeance battle group that gets screened by recurring infantry. It's like really cool. Your free points in that are 2 Dick Spiders and a Corollary, or maybe 2 Galvanizers or 2 Diffusers and a Corollary, whatever. It's super sweet. It's like a super flexible list. And when you have the Soul Ward from the Void Archon, all of that Soul Denial no longer works as well as people think it does. English is hard. It's only my first mm-hmm. language. So this list is super sweet. And then you have this paired with the Destruction Initiative Axis, where he has a bunch of servitors that he wants to play into guns, and he has 2 taps. So this is like very like classic Axis list paired with a more modern Orion list. It's pretty cute.
Yeah, that's nice. As soon as you picked it up and put me there and it was Orion Clockwork, I was like, oh, go on. That's pretty cool.
I think we could spend a lot of time talking about these lists in Japan, running on Onigiri, because all of them are kind of off-meta. Like, they're not what you would expect for any of this. Like, there's a Kaya 2, Morvana 1 pairing. Like, these people are wild men.
That's super awesome that this is their first mm-hmm. year sending a team, and that they're going to be there this year. That's cool.
Yeah, I it's really cool they're sending the team for the first time. It's also really cool all the new and interesting tech they're bringing, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. Bradley, back to you. What do you got?
I actually have something very similar to what Matt was talking about, and I think it transitions well. If we go all the way to our friends in Austria on Rock Me Omodamos, Mr. Martin Piper Brondel. I don't know how to say the umlauts. I don't know how you say the umlauts is the problem.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Anyway, if you look at Lucant, also in Clockwork Legion,
yeah.
This list is a corollary, a diffuser, and 18 galvanizers with 2 ADOs, a Dick Spider Hermit, and an Optifex Directive.
What a fucking legend.
I love this fucking list, right? So like the one diffuser gives the threat extension. So when you go to like how far do your galvanizers threaten, you go, well, add 2 inches to all of them, because if I shoot you with this fucking diffuser, any one of them can go faster. The focus just fucking waterfalls. You get positive charge, you can go up to pal 14.
18 shield guards? No, it's more than that, but 18 galvanizers.
It's also fucking do they still have bulldozers? Is that Axis?
That's Axis.
Yeah, they don't have bulldozers, but they go to armor like 21 with feet. The other thing is Lucant can play fucking dick out in this list because of all the shield guards. You have the Hermit for him, so you have vision from him. If you cast any spell, the Locust can make a mage static. So Lucant's like playing up in the middle of the table, like killing heavies by himself.
So just a quick point, the Locust also gets tokens from your own spells.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I mean. Like, the Hermit walks up, casts anything. Like, oh, I'm going to give an essence to all my horrors.
Or how about Lucant casts D-Cell?
Yeah.
Or that, right? And then the Locust goes and gives him mage static. So, like, can't spell me to death. I have a pile of shield guards. I'm armor 1,000. Your turn.
That is... This list is fucking amazing. I just want to play against it so bad.
What a fucking hero.
It's so good. I love
Jake,
it.
You get paired against this. How quickly do you lose?
What was that?
So, Jake, you get paired against this. How quickly do you lose?
I mean, I don't. But
all right.
I actually bought like a good faction with a good list.
Oh, Jesus.
Jeez. I'm going to call it to Matt. He's nicer.
I've been called many things. Nice isn't one of them.
I said nicer, not just nice. It's all relative.
Yeah, it's fair. That's fair. So, for those who are not aware, Galvanizer Spam in Mark 2 and early Mark 3 was like the way you played.
It was usually Axis, though, right? I don't know that I saw it with Luke. I remember seeing it with Lucant.
In early Mark 3, it was Axis. In Mark 2, it was Lucant, right?
Mm.
God, or maybe Galvanizer Spam didn't. Fucking time's weird. I don't remember. But yeah, Galvanizer 18's a lot. Hermit makes that list sing, though, because now they go up to power 16.
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
They actually might kill something now.
Yeah, man. Well, when you take like 72 boosted power 16s to the face, you, here's how it works, right? You get the first guy who goes in with positive charge, then all the rest kind of waterfall in, then you activate one to kill one of your own guys to get a landing spot for another one.
Oh, just like goes in because he's randomly power 22 in that list, I think. No,
yeah,
power 20.
Yeah, power 20.
This is Lucan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, Lucan's just going to eat the table. Right? It's like,
that will be
it's like a Butcher 3 or a Terminus. Lucan just walks around and kills something a turn.
All right, guys. I got one. We're going to go to France Age Canonix. I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce that one. I took 4 years of French in high school. It did me zero good.
Age Canonix.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's exactly how I'd say that too.
Yeah, I think I nailed it personally. But
All right.
We're going to go to JV, their Scorn player, who has Makeda 3, a decently standard Mac 3 list, double turtle, and some stuff. But what I want to talk about is his Mordekaiser list and Exalted. I sell this a couple other places, so I'm not taking credit away from anybody else, but this is the first one I saw. I know this is played somewhere else, so I'm sorry not to give you credit. But anyway, he's got Mordekaiser and Exalted with an Agonizer, a Shaman, and a Despoiler. Abaddon, 2 Ancestral Guardians, 2 Novitiates, Hakkar, double Max Immortals with UAs, and double Supreme Guardian. And we actually were discussing this list earlier. Jake, what are your thoughts on the spicy Mordekaiser tech?
So I never know who the French guys are because they always put weird names. But I'm 90% certain this is a guy called Jan, and I actually played him at the Welsh Masters this year. We played Zal 2 into Mordekaiser. This list is really fucking good. Like, it doesn't look it, but it's got this massive death skew when Immortals go to a death 16 with Poltergeist. Really fucking annoying. Like, obviously against Immortals, it's not in the mirror.
It's actually 17, right? Gravemist. Or Gravemist is plus 2. And then, yeah, sorry.
13 plus 3, yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
And it's got Despoiler in there, so it actually does crack armor quite well, because he's got, what's it called? Deathfield, Dark Shroud, whatever the fuck it's called.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it weirdly cracks armor kind of well. It's got the death skew, and what else did it have?
Well, he's got revive, so he could bring back another immortal.
That's it, yeah. So all the souls can just go to him if he wants.
Mm-hmm.
So like the two supremes, they can bring back 6 guys a turn. That anything left over just goes straight to Mordekaiser. So like you have to sort of kill minimum of like 7 or 8 guys in a turn before you've actually netted yourself anything. So it's a massive recursion grindy death skew that still hits pretty hard. because your Supremes, if you want them to be, can be power 22 with Siege Weapon.
Also, with the Manifest Void, which increases the cost of the spells by one, that gives you a little more leeway, because there's times when you're like, oh, I got to keep the two souls on a Supreme because I may need to Vortex twice, but a lot of the times the things you'll be worried about now that they're going to cost three or four, you only need to do it once. So there's some cool stuff there. Plus, he can give Ghostly to the battle group, so he doesn't have to deal with the worry about Pathfinder.
Pretty good. Yeah. Even something simple, so like if you like Hammer Boy, just a normal immortal, and he's in melee with the spoiler, like that's a random power 17 immortal. Like that's like a heavy warjack just going and charging something, but yet it's an almost free model that you've had. It's just one infantryman. I really like this Mordekaiser list.
What's the Supreme Guardian's defense go to at Mordekaiser feet?
11.
Things might miss that.
They might.
And again,
every now and then you do miss def 10, def 11.
So one big thing is he also has a spell that makes everything, all enemy models in his control, soulless.
Yeah, the other part of Manifest Void. Yeah.
So you may not think that's relevant, but it really fucking is.
Oh, it makes
living non faction models gain soulless.
That's pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
So, I want you to think about some interactions. As an Infernals player, this is real bad for me. Let me tell you what reading an Infernals card says. It says, when you can do this if you sacrifice a living, non-soulless model.
Oh, shit.
Oh. Well, that's a real shame there, Matt.
Yeah. Wow, that totally dicks down some Infernals.
You're like, oh, man. You're like, oh man, I need to use this cultist to blow him up to restore. Oh, I can't. Oh no. Oh, I need to summon a horde. Oh no.
I was thinking about what it does in the mirror, but it's not, and it's just non-faction, so it doesn't even do anything.
It doesn't do anything at all in the mirror.
No.
But you know,
it does make.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say it does make Clockwork Legion not generate souls off their recursion package.
Yes,
correct. It also, I think the biggest thing it does is if you're playing a matchup against something that has some kind of soul gathering, right, that relies on their own souls, I'm not going to name any factions here.
Connie!
Something that, like, maybe has some precursor knights in it, you just, like, turn off their entire army.
Pretty much, yeah. What as well with this with his list? I don't know if people know the interaction and what the spoiler does with Mordekaiser about creating
the void spirits.
The void spirits.
Oh yeah, dude. Yep.
So you're creating 4-point solos every single turn that have Killing Spree, Overtake, and the void jump as well.
Yeah, people. People may remember, but there was a pretty big outrage about Void Spirits at one point.
I've been touched by them in bad places. They're really fucking good.
So, another thing they have is an additional die for hit and damage against warrior models, right?
Yep.
So they just, like, truck through units.
With no living claws either. It's literally just any warrior models.
It's actually living models.
Do they have living? Oh, awesome.
It's just living models is the stipulation.
Someone cheated me then.
Yeah.
That happens. I do have to say that one of my biggest frustrations doing lists is when people don't put down the names for their players. So, like, you have a cool list, but fucking put down your names.
You mean, like, just for instance, if there was a team at, like, the Boker Brawl who all five players were some variation of Brandon Andrews? You would not like that.
So I think that they should have their fucking names in.
All right, I will. I'll have to go message Pete. Be right back.
So I think it's at this time we throw it to Jake. Right? What's your next list, big boy?
My next one was, where the fuck was it? Off Germany, Wild Sow. was Benjamin Brack, I think it's called. I can't pronounce that. It's something German with a B. So he's got Splinter Circle. He's got Wormwood, Devourer's Host, Usual, Ravagers, Getrix, all the lovely good stuff in there. And then there's this Baldur 2 list, which has it. Which there's quite a theme with my list I'm picking. This one has 12 models, I think. Sorry, it has 16 models. Three of them are Gallows Groves, and three of them are Shifting Stones. So it has 10 models that do things. It's Baldur 2, with a Feral, a Storm Raptor, a Wold Warden, Druid Wilder, Bogtrog Mistweaker, triple Gallows Grove, Shifting Stones, then Una with a second Storm Raptor.
Love it.
So it's Baldur 2 with double Storm Raptor. So every turn, those Storm Raptors are going to be armor 21, and Baldur's got a rock wall as well. So you're playing a huge base shooting, a huge base shooting list, which can actually like tank heavies and tank things because of the rock wall and the feet and the like the plus 3 armor spell. So it's a weirdly good list. And then obviously because there's a fellow in there, like if you want to, those Storm Raptors have got 3 initials, 4 fury. And can be power 20 if you really want them to. Right, this list will surprise a lot of people, and I'm a little bit spooked by it.
It's pretty cute. I know that we played some double raptors in early events in the year here, and we had some at some success with them. It's always one of those lists that when you lose a single big model, like the game just is like immediately over.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the kind of list you have to like. It's hunting for its matchups. So I suspect it'll be played at most once at WTC, and otherwise he's going to be playing Wormwood every round.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
I like it. It's cute.
I mean, and let's talk about that real quick, because people see these lists, and a lot of people kind of overreact to the types of lists people are bringing, but that's a really important point, Matt, right, about being in a team format, and some of these lists are purely there to drop into one or two particular things, and otherwise will not see the table at all.
Also, I think to add to that as well, some people do bring lists just to scare people. So last year, when I was playing Signar, I bought Haley 3 Sloan. I had zero intentions of playing Sloan at the WTC. It was there just to spook people. To be like, oh, so you've got a Haley 3 answer. Well, can you play Sloan as well? And like, it does, like, lists like that are just like, oh, yeah, don't forget, I might just randomly drop it into you and you just lose. Like, I'm probably not going to, but do you want to take that 50-50 gamble with me?
Like, yeah.
It's lists like that in WTC, they absolutely shine. You go, oh, whoops, you've got this random list that just answers what you're playing.
Yeah, so I think that there's a couple strategies you can approach with pairings for team tournaments. So I think that there's like a couple mindsets that kind of go into it. Like, I generally build my pairings to be like, every matchup I'm going, my worst matchups are skill matchups. Is like the way I approach my list design so that
I do the same.
Yeah. So like my worst matchups, I won't have any reds, and my worst thing is like a yellow that like, if we have to put me into it, chances are I can win it. And then there's the opposite, which is just like, you're hunting for greens.
Yeah. Yeah. So I take a similar philosophy. That's not a real word. Philosophy. There we go. I'd rather be prepared and play, say, 6 oranges, as you said, and have the really close skill mind games, proper like mental fights with your opponent, then just win more slam, lol, I'm going to shoot you, I'm going to do this and win. Because they just feel too risky for me and a lot harder to come by. Whereas the yellows, sorry, the oranges and yellows, as you said, the more how big the game's got, there was just becoming more of them. And I feel the way I would like lists and my team to be built is just like, we play all the 50-50s, but we come out on top. So all those 50-50s, we play them enough and we know the matchups that are actually 51s and 52s. Whereas everyone else thinks it's 50-50. It's like, no, we've thought about this and played it more than you have. We know how to get just one little leg above you. Like, even just little interactions. So like, I prefer playing it like that. I'm not a huge fan of taking the like the windmill slams, like go hunting matchups with like greens, as you said.
Yeah, it's. I think the mindset is how confident you are as a player, and like how confident you are in your team, right? Like, I know my team this year. We basically were like, we identified five factions, and we're like, this is what we want to beat. Have games into all five of those factions, and we don't have tons of dodges, but have games into those five. And like, if you have those, and we can play those matchups and get those figured out, like that's what we're going to be doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't matter if you're dodging 12.
Right? Exactly.
I don't want you to dodge Grimkin and
Circle
or the mirror or right. Whatever.
Right.
I think the big thing to talk about in terms of how matchmaking works, though, and like just like to give like some insight to this people who are not aware, you at WTC, the odds of you playing a green matchup against a good team, like a team that is like awake and like knows how matchmaking works, is like very low. You're gonna get them because like you can force them to happen. Like you can get like a 3-2 and like force someone into a green. But like that green almost always will come at the cost of another green or a yellow to an orange. Like against any team that's good at matchmaking.
Sure.
Agreed.
All right, Matt. Did you delay enough to get another list?
I got it. So we're going to go all the way over to Team Italy Mario.
Love it.
I'd just like to point out there's a player on this team named, quote-unquote, David Huge Scrub Chandler.
This is my favorite. I love this guy already.
He's not the player we're looking at, though. I just wanted to point that out.
Sure.
Because he's not Italian. and his name isn't David.
Isn't he Chandler Davidson?
Yes.
Is that him? Yeah.
Yeah. So, Italy Mario, we're going to be looking at Diego Calcifer Maruzzo. I'm guessing we're going with it.
Oh, I love this list.
So, I just like to point out that this team has two Menoth players.
They do.
So we have a Harbinger Krios 1 on Chandler, and fucking Diego... Diego coming in with the hot fire with Resnik 2, Krios 2.
Love it. Let's go.
So I want to talk about the Resnik 2 list a little bit here. For those of you who started playing in Mark 3 had just basically played in the Harbinger Paradise Land, you probably have never seen Resnik 2 on a table. But he's a bad man that does bad things.
He's a really good caster. He seems to have forgotten to press the initiates button 3 times, though.
Yeah, I think that, like, so this list is super cool. So Resnik 2's feat is super sweet. It says, when you kill a thing, you center an AoE 4 on it, and everything in it takes a power 14.
Yep.
He also has Spell Piercer, Boundless Charge, Curse Battle Group. What else am I missing here? He's also just a big bad man in melee. Well, and he can't be targeted by non-magical guns.
Yeah, as long as he have a focus.
And he has limitation, right?
He does have limitation, yeah.
Like, this guy is just, like, goes down the middle of the table, curses something, and spell piercers, his Judicator walks up and he's like, I am Rat Bajillion, blows it off the table. Like, when your rockets are Rat 3... Like, oh, you're living the dream.
He also has the Flesh is Weak, which seems like a situationally brilliant spell.
The greatest control spell in the game, the Flesh is Weak.
Yeah,
holy shit. Because
it's a range 8 AoE 4 that just stipulates living and undead models hit by it cannot run, charge, or make slam or trample power attacks for one round.
It is the single greatest control spell. Also, as a point to that, his curse is Battle Group, not Warjack. So it affects himself as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love Resnik 2. Maybe not in this theme, but he's doing it in this theme to get the Jack. Righteous Vengeance on the Jacks.
Hand of Vengeance, yeah.
Hand of Vengeance, sorry. But I'd like it in either Warriors of the Old Faith, or in Exemplar Interdiction. But I really do like Resnick 2. I think he's an absolute boss.
Yeah, this dude is sweet. Spell Piercer is like, blessed Judicator again. Like, ugh.
Yeah, let's talk about the things that he brought. So he's got a Crusader, Judicator, Scourge of Heresy, Hierophant. What do you think about that that battle group?
So Scourge of Heresy is Resnick 2's character, Resnick's character, Jack. And that Jack fucks hard. It has Arcane Vortex. It has Purgation on its dagger. It has a Thresher, I think, on its flail.
It does, yep.
And when Resnick dude bros brains a dude with his halberd, it gets to make a full advance from its bond. So, like, with Boundless Charge, this thing threats forever. It's like a 14 or 15-inch non-linear threat.
Yeah, that's sweet. I didn't know he had Arcane Vortex. That's hot.
Yeah, so like, this list has a lot of, like, gotcha components to it. So, with Initiates, your army's really durable against guns. With six Shield Guards, 7 with Dart and Vilmin. With Hand of Vengeance, your Judicator, Crusader, and Scourge, plus Curse, just hit anything in the game reliably. Spell Piercer means you don't give a fuck about their rules, and like, you just fuck, and then you feat, and like, you kill all the things. It's fucking sweet.
It's a good list. I like it. It's a real good list.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
I like it. Good. That's a good
lot of style points.
That's a good one, Matt. All right, Bradley.
So we're gonna be going over to Norway to Hugen. I don't know. Yeah, that one. We're going to talk about Mr. Jonas Brand. I always play in Crics, but I think this list pair is wild. So it's Scar 1 in Scourge, and then Scar 2 also in Scourge. I want to talk about the Scar 1 list, though.
I would think you would.
this is just skew harder. So it's Scar 1 running 4 Stalkers, then Iacos 1 running 4 Stalkers, and then Garrulok, double Raider Captain, Severa, double War Witch, the Ambushing Blood Witches with the Hag, Gunslingers, and Dirt Seers. So you have magic weapons on the stick and the Dirt Seers for matchup where that matters. Stalkers trade way up on Scar 1 feat turns. So that's, you know, pretty much a no-brainer. Gunslingers and Severa let you trade, let you, like, remove off the front line or jam things at times. The Raider Captains here are pretty clutch, right? So they give Scar 1 immunity to knockdown, assuming they stay alive and in command with no sleeping. But with Scar 1 feet, they go to POW 14 Weapon Masters that are auto-knockdown with Dark Guidance, so they're probably hitting. They also provide Gang Fighter models that can run 14 inches for Stalkers. So now Stalkers are getting up to Mat 9, POW 19s. And if the Hag is able to run far enough off the edge to apply Dark Shroud, they can become PAL 21s. This is like quintessential skew harder the list. I don't own enough Stalkers for this, but looking at this makes me wish that I had this many.
So this team is Norway 1, if anyone hadn't guessed. And all these are like the top Norwegian players. They were all at the Swedish Masters a couple of weeks ago. Jonas was absolutely smashing the shit out of people with this pairing. It was scary as fuck. Like, he went just deploys and you just see 8 Stalkers on the, like, going first on the 13-inch line. Then they go sit on the halfway line. Like, it's scary as fuck because you know they're going to hit you real fucking hard. It's a brilliant list. I love it. Absolutely love it.
I like it too. That's super cool. Yeah, like, all 8 fucking Stalkers. That's great.
Yeah, and like the Scar 2 list, it's also fairly great, right? So now you have Black Spot Kraken with a feat for it. You have Charybdis, but you have 2 4-inch melee warjacks that have Black Spot and melee. So they can each get like 10 attacks if you're Black Spotting killing things within 4 inches. again, you're triggering Gangfighter off now running Texas Raiders. So the Kraken is getting up to Matt 8, Pal 21s without corpses or Dark Shroud or anything like that. Like, I don't know. I really love this list pair, especially that Scarbun list. Like, it takes an element that Krix has, it dials it to 11.
And then some.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, Krix lists, especially Scarbun, that will run, like, three or four Stalkers, and people can position against three or four at times, but when you have eight, it's tough to protect the models you want to protect against that many things that reach out that far.
So I think one thing to mention about that Scar 1 list and, like, the gunslingers in it, a lot of the time how people play against Stalkers is they wrap their important models in garbage.
Yep, also true.
So, like, they'll be like, ah, here's a heavy, and here's my choir blocking all the landing spots a Stalker could have to get to it. And then, like, the gunslingers walk up, kill all of the models in the way, and now the Stalkers can get in.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
They're also cheeky, like, abilities to apply Gangfighter, because they can walk forward, shoot, and then run and gun up into melee or something.
Yeah, or just run 12.
Yeah, what I'm saying, like, they can do what you're describing and remove off layering while also providing Gangfighter.
Yes. Yeah, it's a really cool list. It's a good choice, Brad. It's good.
Well, thank you, buddy.
All right, I've got one. We're going to go to Poland Centrum. Excuse me. Words. There's a few things I want to talk about here, but the first one, we're going to go to Piotr Palace, playing one of the few Signar players. Signar took a pretty big hit WTC this year. So just his Haley 2 list, I think it's something that I think a lot of people talked about, but you don't see it a lot. So you've got Haley 2 with Centurion, the now cheaper Stormclad, Thorn Squire, Strangeways, the Hermit, Kane Zero with putting Fire for Effect on Thunderhead, a Stormstrider, and then Alexei and the Risen to get that super sweet unit as well as contesting Thralls in the game. I just like that list. It just reminds me of some old school Haley 2 type lists, except for now you get the infantry clearing of a Thunderhead with Fire for Effect, having Alexei in there, popping Thralls. I just like that list. It just reminds me of like a, I mean, it's not the same, but it just reminds me of like a Mark II to like a heavy, I don't know. I can't explain it, but, I like that Haley 2 list. Anybody want to talk about it?
I'm surprised Jake didn't bring this one up because it only has like 20 models.
Yeah, it has like less than, yeah. What's the limit? Like 25 models, I think, Jake?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
I would have brought it up, but I actually know this guy. We've chatted quite a bit over the year about Signar and about like Haley and all that other like lovely good stuff. So I sort of knew about this list before, so I didn't really bring it up. Like, the guy playing it, he's really like, he's a super sweet guy. He does a lot of like battle reports and things like that for the to like blogs and things. So I sort of knew about the list, and it's actually quite good. And that Brisbane list as well just shoots the shit out of people.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's either gonna go mass control all your big stuff, then like Thunderhead's gonna kill all your little stuff, and then try and win on the scenario really quickly. I like, do like a two turn. Like a Kallus 1 style, like two turn scenario jump. But even like it can semi grind a little bit because it's got Alexia in there. So it can play a semi, like not a proper 7 turn grind, but it can sort of like dabble with like a 5-6 turn game.
Yeah. Which I do quite like. And that's one thing you're seeing in a lot of Signar lists now is in the heavy metal list, Alexia and the Risen being the Merc unit, getting
it
some,
has to be now.
Yeah,
it
yeah,
to.
Getting some boys in there to contest.
You have to, because like Signar's solo and cheap throwaway shit is non-existent. You sort of, if you're playing heavy metal now, I think you just admit that you're playing 10 points down and you have to take Alexia.
Yep.
Right, the 90-point list, get Alexia.
I did the math for you real quick. The list has 20 models, and 10 of them are Alexia and the Risen.
Fucking hero.
The alternative to that, Jake, would be if you were running, say, like, double precursors, and you, or well, I guess you may still want her, but I've seen a lot of variations where you would take Alexia and the Alexia 2 instead of Alexia 1.
You can do. But for me, Alexi won just she just prints fucking money. Playing Signar, I'm yet to write a Signar list without her. She will just win you games over a 6-7 round event. She will just be there and she will win you games.
So go ahead, Matt.
I have one thing I want to bring up. Mm-hmm. It's not a list I want to review. It's just I want to point out a player. Okay. All right. We want to go to Sweden Smorgasbord. Go to the second from the top player.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A Mr. Andreas Ho.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fucking what a man.
The best guy.
Grand specimen of a man.
The sweetest, bestest boy.
He is.
I just want to point out I'm really excited that he's playing this year.
He's got a sweet stash.
The best. That was it, right? We didn't want to talk about his list. Okay.
No. I just wanted to point out that he exists.
All right, real quick.
While we
were on Poland, there's two more just quick things I just wanted to talk about, and not necessarily talk the lists. But their Scorn player, Paul Blados, is running Zaltu with a Hydra in Exalted, which I think is kind of cool and different. And Tomas Tutaj is playing High Reclaimer in Guardians of the Temple, and I think that's also sweet. So,
Hand of Fate Flamebringer is pretty good.
It's a thing.
Right. They will get places.
All right, Jake, you got any more?
I actually don't really.
That's okay.
My conflict chamber's kind of acting up on me a little bit now.
That's right.
If someone wants to jump in front of me, I don't mind.
We're well over an hour, so I think that's fine. Brad, Matt, anything else you guys would like to discuss?
I'm a sleepy boy.
No, I want to wish. I mean, I know we're going to cast again next week, so I'll probably talk to you about 20 more times for WTC, and probably you as well, Jake. But good luck in the big dance, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you much. I actually, cannot wait. It's been, it's felt like a long time coming as this one, and it's suddenly here. I absolutely cannot wait for it now.
Yeah, it's going to be a really good time. I'm really excited. Thanks, Bradley.
You're welcome. And then the week after is the Boker Brawl, another 5-man team event in northern New Jersey.
Yeah, one thing about that that Seth did mention to me that I should have put at the beginning of the cast and I forgot, but if he can get if 32 players sign up for the Warfare Weekend qualifier, it also becomes a IG qualifier too, I believe.
Correct.
So if you are going and haven't signed up for that, that is the Friday event, so please do so. And if you're not coming, you should be. I will talk to you boys, but good luck. I hope everybody has a safe trip and a lot of fun over there. It's going to be sweet. I'm excited that there's going to be some streaming as well. So we'll get to watch some, I'll get to wake up and have some coffee at 6 a.m. and watch some War Machine. And that's super sweet.
That is cool, man. That's really cool. Try to give you something to do at work, right? Who needs to do work? Watch War Machine games.
I mean, that's usually, I'd be doing that anyway, so that's not any different. But let's try to get back on the grind. I know it's been a while. We've all been kind of busy. There's been stuff going on. We had Nova and a whole bunch of other things. Everybody's been traveling and doing stuff. So we're going to try to get back on the grind and get more regular. Definitely try to record next week before WTC, and then maybe week off and then get Matt back on after WTC and talk about how he did.
Hopefully me as well, right? Because I'll have won the whole.
Yeah, if you've won, then of course, yeah, and then you can.
I mean,
go back
I'll have won it, so you want at least that on there.
I mean, they'll have me winning it on here anyway, so it's.
But
fine.
They won't. They will. That's the thing. They won't have you winning it because you won't be winning it. I will be. That's the key thing I'm trying to put across here.
You're both,
how about you win it? You both guarantee to come on this podcast.
Well, if we both win it,
how about when we just have our boy Danny Sweetheart McGeehan on after USA East wins it?
I mean,
I think what will happen. The only way that will happen is if Jake and I get double DQ'd in the finals.
But that's possible. I mean,
that would be amazing.
Oh, of which, though, Danny's playing those sweet mercs, so all of Europe will have no idea what to do.
Yeah, you're suit turbo fucked if you see Danny, Jake. So,
Well, I'm not, but the rest of Europe might be slightly fucked.
No, all of you guys are fucked. Denny's coming for your butts.
You're all fucked. Hold your butts, boys.
I let him. He's a beautiful man. I let him.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
It's been a pleasure.
Oh, yeah. And, Jake, thanks for taking the time to come on. I'm such an asshole. What a fucking... I haven't done this in a long time. I'm a terrible host. Thank you for coming on, buddy. It's always great to talk to you.
Yeah, no worries. It's nearly four in the morning.
I know. It's not like I started this at 1 a.m. for you or anything. So, I'm
only at work in 4 hours. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
such a dick. Oh, God. I'm so sorry. All right. Thank you.
As always, guys. Thank you for having me on.
Love you, buddy.
Love you. Bye.
Love you, too.